Okay, exactly 8 o'clock, huh? Very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 13th, huh? September 2022, Tuesday class. So we'll be starting our usual Tuesday class sharing again, huh? But in the meantime, as usual, we will develop the physical puja first, because tonight a lot attended the physical class. Yeah. So we shall now get ready, yeah, for the main puja offering. Let us gather, yeah, then rejoice. Yeah. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we shall offer the rest of the offering. Eh? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you have visited. And now we get ready for the physical puja. Let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the faith, sadhana, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the physical puja chanting. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa, Namo Guan Sing Pusa, Namo Guan Sing Pusa, Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Disang Wang Pusa, Namo Disang Wang Pusa, 那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨姆布多巴嘎哇。不当巴嘎万当阿比哇帝咪，娑嘎多巴嘎哇达达摩达玛那玛萨咪。苏巴提巴诺巴嘎瓦多萨奥克桑哥桑哈那玛咪那摩阿达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛桑布达斯那摩阿达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，那摩阿达斯巴嘎瓦多，阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，布当萨拉南嘎恰咪，达曼萨拉南嘎恰咪，桑哈萨拉南嘎恰咪。Dutiyampi Bhutang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Bhutang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Anatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, you do the Padipapuja onward. So this Patipa Puja is to remind us of all the significance of all these puja offerings. So we will start by chanting the Patipa Puja offerings of light. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadangsina Tilokadipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang Gandhasambarayutena Dupenahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyantang Puja Bhajanamuttamang Panna Gandha Gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena muttena cha hotu mokang bhupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavan Adivaseto no bante Paniyang parikapitan Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivaseto no bante Pale parikapitan अनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगां हातुमुत्तमां आदिवासेतु नोबन्ते भोजनं परिकापितं अनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगां हातुमुत्तमां. Now we will recite the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple gem. Buddham Pujami. Dhammam Pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, so today is actually a very special or auspicious day, because there are this condition for these two suttas to arise. It all started with, I think, Alicia, who sent me the question just now, I think, afternoon. I read to you all the question, then you all can understand. I sent it to the Maikayamita there. You can get it from there. Alicia said, "Good afternoon, Brother Teo. Yesterday, when I was preparing dinner, this come to me." The Mandarin word, I hope I read it correctly. Ta zi tu lun. Tu lun. Tu lun. 那个是里是吧? Tu lun 还有一个字是什么? Oh, 那里面, okay. So ta zi tu lun. Tu lun. Tu lun. Ta zi tu lun. Actually, this one, she said, maybe Bhatti can give me some advice, Kanan Amitofo. Then she Googled. There is a page, and explain what this. Ta tư tu lun maha pranya parimita padesa. So that is the Pali translation. The other one, the English translation, is the treaty on the great perfection of wisdom. So actually these are the very, very complete final Mahayana suttas. And it is also mentioned in many places how all these suttas come about. Then actually what I have been teaching you all thus far is a lot of this Mahayana sutta that we have gone through, especially the Heart Sutta, Sing Sing, which we took quite a number of months, almost 1 year plus, I think 15 months. And we did the transcript of all the important short notes. Then after that is a few more very important Mahayana Sutta too. The other one is the Diamond Sutta, Jing Kang Jing. Then the earlier one is, of course, we have also the Surangama Sutta. The Surangama Sutta is also a very important sutta. Then after that, condition arise for the Bodhisattva way to be taught. So during that time, these three very important sutta, they call it Fa Hua San Bu Jing, or the threefold Fa Hua Jing. This one consists of three books. The first book is Wu Liang Yi Jing, Sutra of Innumerous Meaning. And this one we have covered. It talks about the great virtues of Bodhisattva leading to Sammasambuddhahood. There are three chapters within this Wu Liang Yi Jing. The first chapter is on virtue, special virtue of great beings, bodhisattvas and Sammasambuddhas. Then it talks about how bodhisattva developed the training to teach the Dhamma, proclamation of the Dhamma. That is chapter 2. Then chapter 3 is the 10 great merits related to bodhisattvas, not the ordinary living beings, not just the cultivators of the way or devotees. No, these are the 10 merits of great beings. Then after that, we have the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, which we haven't finished. It's still a long way to go. This one actually is a very extensive sutta expounded by Sakyamuni. In here, it explained to us how all these five periods of the Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching comes about and why he has to teach it that way, why he cannot straight away go to the very advanced suttas or teachings. And in between, it also have the expedient devices which we are coming to today. Today we will start with volume 3. We finish volume 1 and 2. These are the explanation, the introduction, the prologue and all those things before the actual sutta sharing. Then expedient devices is the next chapter, which will go into it after we will do it. Then after that, there are many other chapters within this Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing or Lotus Sutta, or we call it the Lotus Flower Wonderful Dhamma, or the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower. It covers all the other chapters or section. I think they are total, if I'm not wrong, is 28 or 30 plus, I forgot already. All this, they have a lot of those important sharing and teachings by Sakyamuni Buddha, including a lot of predictions for his disciples and followers to become Sammasambuddha in the futures. Yeah. Then finally, the last book is Pu Xian Jing, or the great Samantara Bhadra's sutra on his or her way of meditation, which is very unique. So these are the Fa Hua San Pu Jing, or they call it the Fa Hua Jing. It's actually the first very complete teachings on the Bodhisattva way, found in the Mahayana Sutta, but not in the Theravada Sutta. So this covers very extensive and pervading teachings. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very unique. The Buddhist teaching is not a belief system or a philosophy. It's the understanding developed by ordinary living beings who started from base, square one, without knowing anything, and continue the cultivation for eons and eons and eons. And through all this perfection, it developed until what it is. It started off with the original Sammasambuddha, the first one, Virochana Buddha. Pilochana, or is it in Mandarin? So this teaching is really something that you can never comprehend or fathom. That's why later on when we start the sharing, I will read to you certain part. Yeah, these are the great teachings that actually complement the Fa Hua San Pu Jing to explain to cultivators of the way the extensive perfection and cultivation that one has to go through. And all this, they have their causes and conditions to arise. So what we have here is based on what Alicia has asked. These are the two more sutras that I will cover after this Fa Hua San Pu Jing. We are this complete training. After that, you still have the Avatamsaka Sutta, or Flower Adornment Sutta, or they call it the Fa Hua Jing. So this sutta is a very comprehensive final sutta. So this sutta is mentioned. I just read to you this summary part so that you know its deep meaning. So this Avatamsaka Sutta, the actual title is The Great Means Expansive Buddha Flower Adornment Sutta, or Avatamsaka Sutta. The other name is the Maha Vaipuya Buddha Avatamsaka Sutta. These are all same name. Then there is a Mandarin one. I don't know how to read. Ta Fang Kong Fo Fa Hua Yan Jing. You heard of this? It's the same sutta. It's the same sutta, but they call it by different name. So this Avatamsaka Sutta, or Flower Adornment Sutta, was spoken in the realms of human and in the heavens. It is known as the King of Kings Sutta, like the show you all saw, the cinema show, Qian Wang Zi Wang, Qin Long Zi Wang, the King of Kings. But this one is spiritual. Of all the Buddhist texts, it is the ultimate of all the Buddhist texts. It elucidates the inconceivable states of Buddha, Sammasambuddha, and the conduct of all the great beings, bodhisattvas. This is what the sutta is all about. Then it is mentioned, unless you read the Avatamsaka Sutta, you will never know of the Buddha's true blessing and honor. Now you understand. The Avatamsaka Sutta is the Buddha's greatest stores of treasures. Then there is a verse by the National Master Qing Lian's preface to the Avatamsaka Sutta, which says, opening and disclosing the mysterious and subtle, understanding and expanding the mind and its states. These are all very pervasive ones, very extensive. Exhausting the principles and fathoming the nature. See, you go all out to fathom the nature and exhaust all principles. Penetrating the result, which include the cause, deep and wide and interviews, vast and great and totally complete, Yanman. Surely this must be the great, mean, expensive Buddha Flower Adornment Sutta. See, this is how extensive it is. Then it's also mentioned in the lecture in 1979 by Tipitaka Master Xuanhua, who praised the Avatamsaka Sutta. He said the flower adornment or Avatamsaka Sutta is the sutra of the Dhamma rhyme and the sutra of empty space. To the exhaustion of the Dhamma rhyme and empty space, there is no place where the flower adornment sutta is not present. Wherever the flower adornment sutta is found, the Buddha is to be found, and also the Dhamma and the Sangha of the worthy sages. That's why when the Buddha accomplished proper enlightenment, he wished to speak the great flower adornment sutta, to teach and to transform the great knights of the Dhamma body. Since this sutta was a sutta of inconceivable wonders, it was then concealed within the dragon palace of the dragon king to protect afterwards Nagarjuna. Longsu Pusa, the dragon tree bodhisattva, went to the dragon palace, memorized it, and brought it back. So this is how it came about. And they also call it the mother of all Buddhas. And this is what the flower adornment sutta is, or Avatamsaka sutta is. So this sutta is the complete one. If you look at the details, later when we go into it, we will see it's covering very extensive, even Virochana Buddha, the dust come one, and very, very extensive. And because of all this sutta, the final one, which is the treaty on the great perfection of wisdom, the Prajnaparamita Kshatriyas, or Ta Zi To learn. This one is the outcome of it. The outcome of it. Because these are the final great sutta. Actually, this sutra, when it was initially translated, the first two versions was lost. Only later on, the Mandarin translation was preserved. And it took them quite a while to have it finalized. You can read about the history of one. Maybe I just quickly read through so that you all can have a good understanding of what this is. This treaty on the great perfection of wisdom is the final summary of what this teaching is all about. So it is a complete one. That's why it has 100 chapters and all those things. It is a very, very big teaching or sutra. I think if I'm not wrong, it's mentioned. I read through it and maybe you can understand. A comprehensive commentary on the great perfection of wisdom sutta traditionally attributed to Nagarjuna in the year 150 to 250 BC. The Sanskrit and Tibetan texts do not exist. See, the original Sanskrit and the Tibetan no more exist. Only the Chinese version translated in 405 BC by Humarajima is extant. The work explained the concept of prajna, or wisdom, and sunyata, or sunya, meaning non-substantiality or empty nature existence. Concerning religious practice or spiritual cultivation, it set forth the Bodhisattva ideal, the six perfections, and the other fundamental Mahayana teachings. The treatise of the great perfection of wisdom is also regarded as a treasury of Buddhist teachings, such as those of the ascetic aspiration, means the ascetic practices for the law, King Shibhi and King Universal Brightness. Primarily a commentary on the great perfection of Wisdom Sutta, it also incorporates teachings from the Lotus Sutta, the Mahayana, the other Mahayana suttas. It is highly valued as a reference to the general study of Mahayana teachings. The content. The text is primarily Mahayana and explains basic Mahayana doctrine or teachings, such as the Prajnaparamita Sutta and the other Bodhisattva Paritas or Parimitas perfections. But it also includes the Sarvastivada Abhidhamma, the Jataka story, and the early Buddhist texts, as noted by Lamothe. The treatise cites at length or in extract about 100 sutta of the lesser vehicle, means the Theravada tradition. The majority are borrowed from the Agama collection. It also cites various Mahayana suttas such as Lotus Sutta, Vimalakirti Sutta, the Dasa Bhumi, the 10 Bodhisattva Ground Sutta, the Gavayuha Sutta, as well as the various Jataka story and Avadanta literature. According to Akira Harawaka, the arguments of the Dazi Tulun are primarily directed against the Vaibhashikas of the Sarvastivadin school. That time, I think there was some debate going on. Then, this particular treatise on the great perfection of wisdom contains 90 chapters in 100 rows. This is the one. It comprised two series of chapters, according to Lamothe. The first series of 52 chapters appear to be an integral version of the Indian original, while the second series of 89 chapters seems to be the abridgment. The content in the first series, which has been translated by Lamothe and Kamamige Chandron, is as follows. Chapter 1 to 15, comment on the prologue or Nidana of the Pancha Visati Sahasrika Prajnaparamita Sutta. And chapter 16 to 30 provide an extensive commentary on the short paragraph of the sutta, which focuses on the six transcendental virtue or paramitas. And chapter 31 to 42, according to Lamothe, this part, the most technical and without a doubt the most interesting part of the threads, has as its subject the practices forming the path to Nirvana and the attributes of the Buddha. This includes the 37 factors of enlightenment, or Bodhipasika Dhammas, the eight complementary class of Dhamma of the path, such as the three Samadhi and the four Dhyana, and the six other classes of Dhamma of the path, such as the nine asubha, sanya, and the eight anusatis. For each of these topics, the views of Sarvastivada Abhidhamma are explained alongside with the views of Prajnaparamita, which often critique the Abhidhamma understanding. The Agamas are also cited in this explanation. Then chapter 42 to 48 discuss the Bodhisattva vehicle, Bodhicitta, merits, and abhinyas, emptiness, taught in the scheme of the 18 emptiness, Sipa Kong. Then you have the Madhyamaka and the practice of Prajna Paramitas. Then chapter 49 to 52 discuss further topics such as the vow of Bodhisattva in two sets of 24 vows and 38 vows, as well as causality, Dhammata, the divine eye, and the four elements, etc. So basically, this is the one teaching that covers almost all aspects of Theravada and Mahayana teachings combined in one. That's why this one is a very complete one. But the main core practice is, of course, the Avatamsaka Sutta. So this one is actually an extension of that. That's why it's finding it very difficult to pass down the translation and record all it, because they try to summarize all the important ones into one sutta, and they call it the Treaty of the Great Perfection of Wisdom, which cover too much, too heavy a topic. And during that time, when they started doing it, science was not developed, the teaching was not developed, you don't have the technology and all those things. So because of that, they find it very difficult. Then the burden of translation is another one. The Sanskrit one, they managed to do it. And that itself is a very, very extensive scope. After that, they translate to Tibetan. The Tibetan cannot be preserved, lost. Then luckily, Kumarasiva meant to be. You know who is Kumarasiva? After Bodhidharma. I think he predicted, he told one of his disciples, the end of his Kumarasiva. He has to actually, I don't know what word to use. They say he smuggled the teaching over. I don't know how he writes so fine and he used that type of paper. I think he put it underneath his skin. Then when they went over to China, they took it out. Because they forbid him from taking out any of the books or sutta. Then I think he don't need to remember the whole thing. He only need the skeleton pointer. Then from there, he expounded the teaching. Then they actually translated it. Then when it was translated, it's like meant to be. That's why the teaching comes about. So we should actually have a lot of gratitude and thank and really appreciate all the hard work that they have done. See, without all this, the teaching will not be available. And as I've explained to you all, every segment of our life we come, we can only live for how long? And how much can you learn? There is no way. That's why without all this, there is no way for you to develop the understanding. But the funny thing about this translation is, initially it may not be accurate. You don't have to worry. You must have some extent of accuracy, or you're able to quote the actual word enough. Then when the great being arise, when they connect, they read, they understand. Then they will know the translation not complete, not correct. Then they can actually developing more and more, more and more. Initially, the translation need not be very accurate or 100%, because when the great being come, when they connect, they will understand. Then they can explain to you. That's why when my nature arise, I realize a lot of truth which I just read, but not much was explained. But my nature can explain. And all those things can be comprehended and understood. So it's also like meant to be. We are just after dinner, I was telling my wife, you look back, why my nature this life comes segmented for my mind. Went to an English school. I was the only one among the 9 siblings that go to an English school. Then, being an English educator, I actually studied the Theravada Sutta first, the Theravada tradition. Then, very funny, later on, somehow, the Mahayana teaching, the moment I hear, the moment I heard about it, then I only need a copy of the whatever English version. I remember the first one that I shared was the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. I asked Yun Chan to lend me a copy. It was a chanting book. So, although it's the sutta there translated may not be very accurate, but no problem. I read, I understand what the three turning is and how to teach people to develop the understanding and how to connect and link it to the three type of wisdom and all those things. And all the meaning that is very profound and very deep can actually surface because of the cultivation from the past. So that's why you don't need very accurate translation. Then when my whole family take refuge under Master Shenhua, I also couldn't quite understand why it happened. Until later, then I realized Shenhua went to the West, set up the Dharmarayam University, the city of 10,000 Buddhas. Everything happened for a reason. Then he translated all the sutta to English. And that was the most beautiful. Just now I checked, the treaty on the great perfection of wisdom, he also translated it with the commentaries. That's why we can use that later on to develop our sharing. Then he also translated the Avatamsaka Sutta, Flower Atonement Sutta. That's why all this we have the translation. It need not be accurate. Like when I went through the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta, you remember? And also the Han Sutta. That's why I explained inside that sharing. I said, Shenhua has his own way of explaining. But the way I understand it is slightly different. I will expand it further and all this thing. So all this came out because beings that has developed the understanding from the past, when they come, they will have the understanding. They will connect. They will inherit. Then they will have the understanding. Then they can teach. That's why all this is how it becomes possible to transmit all this teaching. And also like that day, I think, I don't know whether it was at a retreat or what. Who was it that I spoke to? I said the mind-to-mind transmission. Was it Alicia? At the dinner table that I explained to somebody. The mind-to-mind transmission. No need words on. I forgot who already. No. In the talk I mentioned later, but at the dining area there, I was talking to somebody, I remember. Ingbi. I was explaining to Ingbi. I said, no need words. That is what mind to mind is all about. The transmission is crucial. Ingbi, now I remember. He said he was not listening. I said, no need to listen. The vibration, let it go into your nature where they have connected. They have located the gateway. So when you listen, I also do song last time, but I didn't explain the mind to mind. Because when you listen from the heart, that vibration will go in. Well, these are wisdom energy. These are the wisdom vibration, the teachings. The nature recognize. The brain don't recognize. Never mind. It's like you have not heard, where it didn't go through your brain. But after you listen from the heart, then when you come out of the meditative state, you may think you didn't hear. But the moment you got a condition to listen to that talk again, suddenly that whole understanding is there. Very, very clear. That is what it means. That's why when you can listen on the heart, just listen on the heart, then the nature will actually give you the sign. It make you like want you to go and meditate. Sometimes it's like you feel sleepy, but it's not sleepy. It want you to go and meditate. It want you to go and rest. Go and silent everything. Don't try to know anything. Because during that time, it's either there is condition for your nature to draw from the great being's nature or the important understanding. That's why you remember I always said to you, the great being's nature, the Buddha's nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. They are always there. So when you need to go and develop the silencing, the meditative mind, you just go and do it. Then after that, when you wake up, when you come out of it, you realize your understanding differently. You can comprehend a lot of things that last time you cannot comprehend. Even a lot of kilometer now, you reflect back. Last time when you started, you totally don't know anything. Then the word like just word knowledge. Then later on, as you develop the cultivation, as you develop the sati, the mindfulness, the awareness nature, then as you listen to the Dhamma constantly, you evolve, you develop all this understanding, then you become very, very different. Then surprisingly, a lot of things that you can never even dream of understanding in the past, you start to understand. Like now, Alicia, she go and Google where she know Mandarin. She read the Mandarin translation or whatever that they write. They may not have the understanding, but she can understand what is written. That's why she appreciate all these sutta, and she can forward to me and want to ask me to elaborate on it and help her understand. And this is what I meant by the condition will arise when this teaching wants to come out. That's why I said today is a very special day, a very auspicious day. Yeah? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And a lot of this type of cultivation and teaching, you can never understand until much, much later. But for some, they are already along the path. They know how to develop it, and they already know roughly what this thing is. Because, like I explained in the past, this is the Bodhisattva way, where you need to connect to your true nature, your gateway to your nature. The same way you don't have to. In fact, the first three is not enough for you. Then you only need to have a glimpse of Nirvana, which is the cessation. Now, then sometime, as you develop further, especially Sotapanna and Sakadagami, one glimpse of cessation, you are already there, path and friction. Then when you go on, as you develop the four foundation of mindfulness, the stability of mindfulness, or something, then your cessation can be experienced longer and longer. And during that time, you can actually develop the wisdom to root out the balance of the five, what they call fetters. That five fetters that even Anagami are stuck, yeah, including Avijja, the last one, can be rooted out. Once it's rooted out, they become Arahant. Then no more rebirth, segmented form and mind that take rebirth through avijja, no more. But if they know how to take the bodhisattva way, they can still come back, but they will die without ignorance, without avijja. But that one haven't actually connected to the nature, haven't stabilized the nature, haven't developed the extensive cultivation and all things. And all this perfection or temperamita, they don't have to do. They have not gone through that training. So because of that, what they know and what they understand at that time is relatively very limited. Very limited. Because when it comes to the awareness, nature, the stability of it, and the more refined practices and perfection, it cannot be understood. Unless they take that way. That's why that way take very long. It's ever pervasive. And it's very, very extensive. You cover all aspects of living beings, all aspects of civilization, all aspects of causes and conditions within the conditioned world. You have to go through eons and eons and eons of exposure, cultivation, perfection to develop all this understanding. That's why the bodhisattva way is very different. It's because it involves a lot of what we should say is not the word sacrifice alone. The word sacrifice is too light a word to describe what they really do. It's too understanding. It's not to say they sacrifice, but they understand that all this has no reality. Especially when they understand the form and mind. It's a segmented form and mind. Every life you come, it's a different form and mind. And he know you, he know me. So when you develop the mind, perfection and cultivation, especially the three hallmarks of winning, when you reach the understanding of no thought, union, then you penetrate the nature. You realize the true mind, you stabilize it, you locate the gateway, you penetrate. Then after that, that awareness nature that stabilize and develop into an understanding will allow you to observe insight in the phenomenon and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature, giving rise to wisdom, transcending the marks. Then you will transcend duality, transcend all mark, no mark of self cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma, life, existence, everything. Then after that, you continue to evolve and develop. Then you go through all the stages of training described in the Wuliang Yi Jing Sutra in numerous meaning, the virtue of grieving bodhisattva. You develop them. Then your mind, like what is described in the sutta, is always tranquil, still, clarity, ever shining, ever mindful, constantly meditating. And this is possible. Because this is what the true mind is all about. Then when your mundane mind collapses, you will understand the third hallmark of winning. What is the meaning of the mind must have no dwelling? Where that time it cannot grasp, it cannot cling, it cannot hold, it cannot dwell. It is just the way it is. That's why it just manifests their nature, shine forth, and become very different. So all these are the great difference between the sainthood way and the bodhisattva way. Then from there, you can move on, expand on it, develop the perfection and cultivation. That's why, although this path is very long, but you will not have any delusion to fear it. Because the five stages of bodhi mind development, I already explained. The first stage is just to make the vow, the aspiration to go that way, means to plant the seed of bodhi, the bodhi mind, deep to your faith, to your understanding, to your determination, where you see the importance of this. So the first stage of Bodhi is to make the initiative to go that way, using your faith, with very, very strong and unshakable faith, then your determination, affirmation, then you plant the seed of Bodhi deep within your nature, until it nature, then you take the vow. So all this, stage one is very easy. When you take the Bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow, that is the beginning. Then I add on all the right views, right understanding, so that life after life you have order, then how to break your coming obstruction. If you do all those things, your journey is very much more smoother and very much more easier to work on. So all these are there for you. Then after that, you will develop the ability to actually explain the teaching, proclamation of Dhamma. Then you can do the 10 merits that is mentioned in the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning. So all this become possible. Then when you read the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, it will share with you all the great beings and Bodhisattva, how they develop their vow, how they develop their actually perfection and reach the stage where they can be predicted to become Sammasambuddha. And every of these great beings is different. That's why through all the expedient devices, you also develop the understanding and you perfect them. So that when you come, you can have all this understanding. Then finally, of course, the third book is the Samantara Bhadra Pusyam Pusa Meditation Sutra. Yeah. That one is a very beautiful sutra on how his 10 great vows that combines with his or her meditation to actually speed up the whole cultivation, because he is or her cultivation is so unique. With one bow, he pay respect to all the Buddhas and the great beings of the three period of time, not only to one or to many around him or her, but to all that existed within the three period of time. But this is the understanding. That's why he has great virtue. They call it universal virtue, Bodhisattva. Her virtue leads to that type of perfection. That's why I said in the past, without virtue, there is no true wisdom. True wisdom can only manifest on surface when there is true virtue. Virtue born of wisdom, nothing else. So all this is what all these teachings are. Then these three basic Sambuddhi is where all the other teachings spin off from there. So in fact, Avatamsaka Sutta is also important, but it's an extension of this tree. Understand? Then when you go through that one, you have more exposure, more understanding. In fact, after Avatamsaka Sutta is enough, you will know the inconceivable nature of Sammasambuddha and all those things. Then, of course, this treasure on the great perfection of wisdom is the last treaty that they try to put together all, so that you don't have to go all over to look. But this one is a bit hazy, a bit very messy, in the sense that the Theravada teaching alone, the scope is so big, including Abhidhamma. So I find the easier way is either you go through the Bhavasambuddhi, or you go through the Pure Land teaching. You cultivate great affinity with Amitabha Buddha and the 48 great vows. Through the vow, he created Pure Land. And these are the more direct and I won't say faster, because the Amitabha one take very long one. The other one is by faith. The other one, Sakyamuni one, by wisdom way is the fastest. But each has their own merits, where they are very different. Because the one by faith on has its very, very unique ability to create pure land and other things. And they can really liberate and train a lot of living beings. So when it comes to cultivation, be patient, develop your own understanding, then you will understand all this. Okay? So with that, we will continue with our maybe meditation. What's the time? I have taken up almost all 9 o'clock. Okay. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So now what we do is we will have our half an hour of awareness based meditation again. So I will set the alarm so you can off the light. Then you can have your awareness based meditation. Remember the four support. Relax, aware, maintain awareness, and finally trust. Okay. You can now slowly mindfully come out of the meditation. So you will continue our sharing for those who missed the first session, you make sure you get hold of the recording tomorrow and we will go through it. And you will have to listen to it, sorry. We have already shared the part where Sister Alicia asked that question on the Mahayana Sutta, treatise on the great perfection of wisdom. And I also include the Avatamsaka Sutta or Flower Adornment Sutta. So these are the two more sutta that supposed to be our last two. After we finish it, we will finish the whole thing. But we still have a lot to go because the Lotus Sutta, Myofa, then one thing, we only have volume 3. Okay. Chino, you on the thing. We continue volume 3. And the book that we are following is volume 3, chapter 2, Expedient Devices. So the previous prose and verse section were an introduction to the sutra, which we have covered. Setting for the sutta's causes and conditions. Now that the causes and conditions has been related or explained, we will proceed to explain the second chapter, which is chapter 2, Expedient Devices. Here on the hard copy, volume 3. A device is a method, and an expedient means effective. The type of method is an is a provisional dogma, not a real one. It is a provisional device designed for temporary use. It's just like the skillful means to help you train your mind. But the skillful means is not the meditation itself. So this expedient device or ways are just like provisional skillful ways to teach the dhamma. So provisional device designed for temporary use. Real means that it is forever unchanging, forever useful. However, if you begin to speak the unchanging, the real Dhamma, no one can understand. That is why the Buddha of the 10 directions skillfully set for expedient Dhamma doors and bestow the provisional for the sake of the real, means they introduce the provisional teaching first before they can teach the true teaching. Later, they open the provisional to reveal the real, because living beings are not ready. Bestowing the provisional for the sake of the real means that for the sake of realizing Buddhahood, the sound hearers, the Pajaka Buddha's vehicle are taught. After that, the Bodhisattva vehicle is taught. The ultimate destination, however, is the Buddha vehicle. The Buddha vehicle is real. The sound here and the particular Buddha vehicle are provisional. Not for the sake of realizing Buddhahood. Small vehicle Dhamma is taught provisionally. That's why it's called the sainthood way, the Theravada tradition. Later, living beings are led to return to the great vehicle, the Buddha friction, means to realize Sammasambuddhahood. That is what it meant by bestowing the provisional for the sake of the real. Next, let us consider what is meant by opening the provisional to reveal the real. At the very beginning, when the Buddha taught the sound hearers and the particular Buddhas, he said, "This Dhammadhara is the very best, is incomparable Dhamma. Nothing can compare with it. The small vehicle people cultivated in accord, and certified to the first, second, third, and fourth fruition of sagehood or sainthood." I mean the first stage, second stage, third stage, and the fourth stage of sainthood or Sotapannaship, Sakadagamiship, Anagami, and Arahantaship. They were satisfied with just a little. They thought that was what the Buddha Dhamma was all about. They did not go further or seek to advance. They stopped at the transformation city. So this transformation city is just an analogy. The analogy of the transformation city will be discussed when we come to chapter 7. Those of the two vehicles felt that they had expended considerable energy in their cultivation. They had practiced all kinds of ascetic practices in order to certify the attainment of the sagely fruition. They didn't know that there is still a Buddha way to be realized. Above, they did not seek the Buddha way. And below, they did not teach the transformation, And below, they did not teach and transform living beings. They were independent arahants. Having realized the Buddha way themselves, they pay no attention to whether other living beings realize it or not. It means self-enlightenment. For that reason, the Buddha began to open up the provision Dhamma. He said, "The doctrine I previously explained to you was not the utmost Dhammadhara. Although you have certified to the sagely fruition, it's not the ultimate position. You still have to return from the small and go towards the great. You must turn away from the small vehicle and go towards the great vehicle. You ought to walk the bodhisattva way or path and cultivate the six perfections or the 10 paramitas and the 10,000 conducts. The Dhamma of the great vehicle or the Mahayana tradition. Thus the Buddha destroyed the provisional Dhamma by making them obsolete, and he revealed the genuine doctrine." So here, maybe the English word he used is not so tactful. I think the Theravada tradition or the small vehicle tradition may not like it. He said the Dhamma that they learn might become obsolete. Actually, it's not obsolete. It is very important because they are the essential Dhamma, the basis for developing the foundation to proceed further. Without the provisional teaching or the basic teaching, the essential Theravada traditions, authentic essential Dhamma, it is very difficult to have a stable base to progress further. So we wouldn't say it's obsolete. It's like you go to kindergarten, you go to primary school, then you go to secondary school. After that, you think finish, no more. Maybe upper secondary also you finish. Then you thought no more, but you didn't know there is still the university, the pre-university, the post-university, and they have the master's, the postgraduate, and a lot more, until maybe finally you reach the pinnacle of the education system. So all this, we can develop as analogy so that you can understand better. Okay, at that time when this chapter was spoken, the world-honored one, the Buddha, or the world honored by gods and humans both in and beyond the world, arose serenely from Samadhi. Sakyamuni Buddha has entered Samadhi, or the station of limitless principle. Now he emerges from the Samadhi, and he does so serenely, which means peacefully, and with self-mastery. He wasn't like those who went finished meditating, immediately stretch out their painful leg and back, roll their neck and flex their shoulder. That's not being serene. It shows a lack of good manner. Besides, serene means calm, feeling one's entire body to be comfortable. And this is very true. When you are skillful in your meditation, when you come out of the awareness-based meditation, you feel very serene, very tranquil, very peaceful, very calm, very light, no stress, nothing. And everything is so soothing, so beautiful. You can feel your entire body to be very comfortable. It means no pain in the leg or in the back or anywhere. Then the Buddha arose from Samadhi, and he was just about the same as before he had entered. He didn't notice that his legs were uncomfortable. This one you must be very skillful, then you can do that, really. No pain, nothing. You just come out of it, no problem. And he told Sariputta. He arose, and since no one asked him, the Buddha spoke without being requested to speak. Why did he speak to Sariputta? It was because among the assembly of sound hearers, Sariputta was foremost in wisdom. He was the most wise within the space of a single week. Sariputta had completed or completely penetrated the entire storehouse of Dhamma while still inside his mother's womb. Sariputta won debate with his uncle. Sariputta's uncle was a great debater. He was an excellent speaker who possessed unobstructed eloquence. However, when Sariputta's mother was pregnant with Sariputta, she borrowed Sariputta's wisdom and used it to defeat her elder brother. Sakyamuni Buddha now addressed Sariputta because he was so wise. Manjusri Bodhisattva, who spoke previously, is foremost in real wisdom, the wisdom of the great Vahika. Whereas Sariputta is foremost in wisdom of the provisional teachings, the wisdom of the small Vahika. Sakyamuni Buddha now tells Sariputta, the wisdom of all the Buddha is extremely profound and unlimited, so you must pay attention to these two words. Yeah? The wisdom of all the Buddhas, means Sammasambuddha, is extremely profound and unlimited, means vast. It is extremely deep and extensive because it's bottomless. And so you cannot know how deep it is. It's unlimited because it cannot be reckoned. It's all at once profound and unlimited. It's kind of wisdom. It's kind of wisdom that is so high and so deep that it cannot be phantom or known by reckoning. It cannot be known through analogy. That's what the wisdom of all the Buddhas. The gateway to this wisdom is difficult to understand and difficult to enter. See, the gateway. This is the gateway. Yeah? Means you have to go through the gateway to your nature to realize all this. Since the Buddha's wisdom is extremely profound and has no limit, how can one enter into it? How can one enter the wisdom of the Buddha? The gate into the wisdom of Buddha is hard to understand and to enter. It is not at all easy to be clear about. It is difficult to certify to its attainment. So this is Xianhua's explanation. The actual meaning is different, but there is this gateway to our nature where you can develop the connection, where you connect back to your nature through your silent mind, your true mind, without thought. Then you can locate it. It's near around your heart area. That's why I say silent everything and stay at the heart. Then let it detect. It cannot be known by any of the sound hero of Pachika Buddha. See, it's mentioned. The assembly of sound hero and Pachika Buddha cannot understand what that gateway is. Sound hero and Pachika Buddha, Buddhas belong to the two vehicle. Those who are born when a Buddha is in the world and who cultivate the 12 causes and conditions are called those enlightened by condition. Yeah. Those who are born when no Buddha is in the world and who cultivate on their own, seeing the flowers bloom in the spring and the yellow leaf fall in the autumn and thus awaken to the way, are called Pachika Buddhas, or sometimes the Theravada call them the silent Buddha. So whether it's called sasana or no sasana, this Pachika Buddha can become enlightened to the sainthood way. Some hearer cultivate the Dhamma or the four truths. See, some hearer must listen to the four noble truths and its treatment and certify the fruits. The four truths are the truth of suffering, dukkha, then the truth of origination, is samudaya, and the truth of extinction, nirodha, and the truth of the way, marga. The sound hearer and Pachika Buddhas are the sages of the small vehicle or Theravada tradition. Although they have certified the fruits of sainthood, they cannot know the Buddha's wisdom and they don't understand it. What is the reason? Why can't they understand it? The Buddha have in the past drawn near to countless hundreds, thousands of tens of thousands of millions of Buddha. The reason the Buddha became Buddha was because in the past, they drew near to all the Buddhas. They presented them with offerings and paid them homage exhaustively, practicing the unlimited Dhamma of the way of those Buddhas. They cultivate the way, they study the limitless Dhamma of the way of all those millions of Buddhas. They cultivate according to the Buddha Dhamma. It is not known how many Dhamma they already cultivated, a limitless, boundless number of them. See, this is how extensive the thing is. They met with so many Sammasambuddha, tens of thousands of millions of Sammasambuddha, and they made offering to them all. And pay their homage and exhaustively cultivate the unlimited Dhamma of the way of those Buddha. So they cultivate the way, they study the limitless Dhamma of the way of all those millions of Buddhas, Sammasambuddha. So they cultivate according to the Buddha Dhamma. It is not known how many Dhamma they cultivate, but it is limitless, boundless number of them. So this is how extensive it is. So now we study a little bit of Dhamma and think that we understand it. We read a single book of Buddhism and think we know it all. That is to be too shameless. It is to take the Buddha Dhamma too lightly, as too simple. There are even those who have never studied Sutta. That's just to insult the audience. They are unable to benefit themselves and even less able to lecture in such a muddled fashion that the more they talk, the less people understand. Some of them explain donkeys as horses, and others explain ghosts as people. They cannot explain the word ghost correctly, and they cannot even read the words person. Still, they go around lecturing. If you ask them a question, they might say, I never read that book, so I cannot comment on that. They may strike up a conversation with you, perhaps using lines from the Zen school. They say they understand, but they really did not. And so they end up telling you to go figure it out for yourself. You may wonder if those of the two vehicles did not speak. Oh, sorry, did not understand the great vehicles. I read again. You may wonder, if those of the two vehicles did not understand the great vehicle, then how can common people understand it too? So this one is very obvious. Even the sinful we who has become enlightened also cannot understand the Mahayana teaching, the whole extent of the cultivation. What more living beings who don't even have the sainthood enlightenment? Those are the two vehicles went up step by step, although we are common people. If we understand the doctrine of the great vehicle, we can immediately certify to the attainment of the fruit of the great vehicle. It's like studying. Some people begin in elementary school. Here he uses a similar analogy, and work their way up through high school and on to the university. Others may not have been to school, but they associate with those in elementary school and high school and find their study very simple. They understand them as soon as they hear them. And so they can go directly to the university to study. Although we are common people, our affinity is such that we get to hear the great vehicle Buddha Dharma in the beginning. Those of the other two vehicles' affinity were such that they did not get to hear the great vehicle until the very end. This is very, very true, especially those who are so conditioned by the Theravada teaching. They don't have that affinity because they tend to have this concept of disbelieving what Mahayana teaching is. So that is where the danger of not having an open mind is. So this one is very true. I read again. Although we are common people, our affinity are such that we get to hear the great vehicle Buddha Dharma in the beginning. Those are the two vehicles' affinity were such that they did not get to hear the great vehicle until towards the end when they want to become arahant. In the Dharma flower, until the very end in the Dharma flower assembly here. At that time, they turned away from the small vehicle and went towards the great vehicle Buddha Dharma. Now we have an excellent chance to study the great vehicle Buddha Dharma and to understand it directly and quickly. So it seems this sutta was spoken for their sake, for them to move from the small vehicle or the sainthood way to the bodhisattva way. Yeah. But those who have this affinity with the great vehicle, you will come to understand the great vehicle teaching much earlier. That's why they can make the vow, the four basic vow. They can commit themselves to take the four basic vow, plant the seed of Bodhi, and walk this path before they even realize the sinhood way. Yeah. In that sense, it can be faster. Then you will have no problem when you hit the sinhood way. Even when you realize arahantship, you will know how to continue to move. Yeah. But those who don't have that condition and opportunity, most of them fail to have that ability. Yeah. So it's up to the individual. Yeah. It's no hard and fast rule, because the sinful way also not bad if you can understand it and realize it. Yeah, you're also free from birth and death, especially when you realize arahantship. Even if you don't realize arahantship, even the first stage of sinhood is maximum 7 lives, you come back to the sensual world. Then when you become a Sakadagami, you only come back once, once return. Anagami, you don't come back to the sensual world. You take birth in the pure effort. And then after that, you become arahant and cease. Okay, you go back. Oh, 10 o'clock already. I have to stop here. Okay. I mark this page here. It's on page 364. I have marked it. Okay. So now we can open up for meditation reporting or Q&A and Dhamma discussion. Okay. So today, I think the first session before we start the meditation is very important. Those who miss the sharing, it's advisable that you wait for the recording and listen to it attentively. Well, that one is a very important and very I should say you can't hear it other place. It is very useful for those who have the affinity and condition to develop the understanding to go this way. So please make it a point to listen to it, otherwise you will miss. You will be like the small vehicle who don't have the understanding to go the great vehicle way. And then later on, when it's too late, that is not meant to be. You were given the condition, the opportunity. So you can develop the understanding and the faith. This life is the golden window for you to develop that very strong understanding, faith, and affirmation to go this way. Then you become very different. Okay, now we open up for meditation reporting.
Good evening, Brother.
Yeah.
Mrs. Chiu and all Kalamita. Actually, 这个大智度论, 我不知道是什么来的, Brother.
现在你知道的。是,
它就是 appear 在我的心里面, 我讲, 诶, 难道我有读过吗?
前世。
所以我就, 其实我有去谷歌去, 它有白话文的解释,
yeah,
我就去读了一下,
yeah.
不容易明白,
不容易,
不容易明白,
这个很难明白的,
除非你真的是在很 silent, 你就可以 catch a bit of the gist,
otherwise 对, but the full picture 你看不到的,
对,
除非你走那条路, 你看不到的, 因为这些马来亚的地境啊, 除非你走过了那条路啊, actually 你不能够了解的, 你要从走过了那条路, 看回去, 你才了解, 为什么, 佛陀会 develop the teaching in that way. Like I explained to you all, how all this Dhamma unfold. Initially, I was also facing the same problem. I don't want to come out and share after 1989 because no point. What I understand is the complete opposite of what commonly understood or people develop and learn. So I just keep quiet. Then later on, 15 years later, when there is causes and conditions, then Yun Chan appeared and requested me to come out and share. So initially, I thought what people need is the teaching. And I realize cannot. The basic essential Dhamma also, they don't have the basic elementary understanding. So I had to reverse everything and start from basic. Like kindergarten, teach them basic. Then primary school, alphabet. Then make sentence, make words, then make sentence. Then after that, sing song and all those things, the expedient way. Then after that, teach you based on what you have studied, and then later slowly, slowly explain to you that what you have studied is actually not the way it is meant to be. Then had to explain method, technique, never define the meditation, just a skillful mean to train the mind to do it because the mind is healed. Then only the five mental faculties or spiritual faculty come in, the mental hindrance teaching come in. Then slowly from this essential Dhamma be more. Then the onward through, I had to go through the three turning. Then the spin of essential Dhamma, the three evil rules, the three right views. then all of the meditative teachings come in later. Yeah, especially awareness based, I find it so difficult to introduce. That's why I had to define what sati is first. And nobody defined it that way, and nobody knows what sati is. They go and know and do all the thought based on. So expedient teaching has to come out. Then after that, how all these teachings are organized. That's why even the Theravada tradition is so big a topic. If you look at all the essential dhamma and the teaching that Sakyamuni Buddha taught over the last 45 years before his parinibbana, it's a lot. Even the handful of leaves is a lot. Then to expand on it is a lot more. That if you have not gone through the thing, you don't know what is head or tail. Every life you come, maybe maximum 80 years, 90 years, or 100 years, you expect to learn. There is no way. Unless, like all the Samasambuddha, the Bodhisattvas, the great being, they know every life you come is only one second. Then you have to connect. Then you inherit from the spiritual nature. Otherwise, you cannot. The continuous learning is very, very tough, very difficult. That's why when you ask me, my nature is straight away new. This teaching want to come out. But nobody will go and ask about this type of teaching. These are the, towards the end one. Yeah. So this treaty on the great perfection of wisdom, or you call in Mandarin what? Ta zi du lun. How come it appear to you and not to others? Because the nature up there also know. For somebody to explain this type of teaching, they must have the understanding. That's why they go to you to actually bring it out. Then when you text to me, I straight away knew. Then I promise you just now, I can share this because there is this commentary by Xianhua already. So what I need is a skeleton. Then from there, when I expound or proclaim the teaching, the sutta, I can expand on it because to understand all those things is not difficult for cultivator of the way who have control. If not, it's very difficult. And to even see the big picture, to explain to you what I explained before we start, very few cultivate all the way can do that. So it's meant to be. So for you, I think it's already very, very good that you can actually have the condition to even when you silence your mind to understand what the sutta is telling you, at least to the extent you can understand. But all this, you really need people who has gone through to really explain. They call it in Hokkien, tia king, means what? Unbundle the sutta, chak king. Mandarin is called jie kai na ge jing dian. To actually explain the sutta is not easy. So all these are like meant to be when the teaching wants to come out, when the consciousness is ready, all this can manifest. That's why we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why I said today is very unique, very auspicious in that sense. The last two sutta which I haven't covered is these two, Avatamsaka Sutta or the Flower Adornment Sutta, and this treaty on the great perfection of wisdom. These are the last two after the Bahua Sanpujing. So once you finish even the Avamtasaka Sutta, you more or less complete already. So this last treaty on the great perfection of wisdom is a very elaborate compilation of the whole thing together. That's why it's very bulky, very, very bulky. But it's good because it talks about Virochana Buddha. It talk about the what they call the inconceivable nature of the task come one, and all this. And if you were to go to all the chapters, almost 100 chapters, they are all very extensive, very heavy. So this is what this treaty on the great perfection of wisdom is all about. Yeah, you continue, Alicia.
Sadhu Brother, because come to me, 我觉得没有 Brother Joe 的 guide， 我不可能会去
不容易去
understand。
然后后来我
contemplate， 我还是 concentrate 在妙法莲华经，
yeah.
然后一步一步的 走过去， 感恩 Brother Joe 的 guide， 阿弥陀佛。
Because this is very important. Once you finish the 妙法莲华经, all those things, it's like you finish the Theravada tradition's essential teaching, then you move on to the Mahayana teaching. Then there is a possibility of continuity and development of further understanding. If you don't have the base of the Theravada, you straight away go into Har Sutta, or I tell you, you should have catch no ball. They have hooked you. You become very confused. But the whole of the Maya Sutta is like very contradictory to what you have learned in the Theravada. Because in the Mahayana, they talk about the true mind. In the Theravada, they talk about the mundane mind alone. Understand? The egoic mind alone. That's why they focus on Sakkaya Ditti. You must root out the self-delusion, Sakkaya Ditti. And they seldom talk about the true mind, the silent mind, or saying the meditative mind. They only talk about the spiritual faculty, how to develop samadhi, then start with dana, then sila, samadhi and panya. Then without samadhi, there is no panya. So all this, at the elementary provisional level, you study very basic. Very basic, but good enough for sainthood way, for awakening. That's why this teaching, like I explained just now, is so extensive and so wonderful and so beautiful. It's not a belief system or just a philosophy that some great thinker come up with. No. This is born of great beings. Samasambuddha, cultivator who have gone through this way. And it's a tradition that has been going on for eons and eons and eons and eons. And even the number of Samasambuddha is, they are talking about hundreds of thousands of millions of Samasambuddha. And even Sakyamuni Buddha also said he encounters so many of these. And every Samasambuddha you make offering, you make vow and all those things, and then you cultivate what they have taught you and all those things. That's why it's very extensive. That's why the perfection is fantastic. So for this type of wisdom and this type of teaching to come about, you should count your blessing. You should really have the what they call deep, very deep the sincerity to have this gratitude and respect for having the condition to encounter all these teachings and this helping. That's why these teachings are very rare, very difficult to come by. When you have the window, you must actually cherish it, go all out, and make use of it, and determine strongly to go this way. This golden window is very important. And the Buddha has on many occasions emphasized, even to the Theravada tradition practitioner. He said, rare is to be born a living being, especially a human being. To be born a human being is really rare. Yeah. The turtle egg analogy explained how rare it is. Then to encounter the true Dhamma or Buddha Dharma is even more rare. So now that we have the condition, the window to be born a human being, encounter the true Buddha Dharma, such condition is very, very rare and very difficult to come by. What are you waiting for? Why do you still hesitate and develop all this foolish thought-based thinking? That's why you should actually cherish it and determine all out to develop this understanding. Then make the vow, the Bodhisattva vow, follow the yellow card format and establish the way so that from now onward until all your future taken care of. And this window you can do it because there are causes and conditions for it to arise. So that is the meaning of the golden window. You must not miss it, otherwise you are going to regret. So this is something that has been constantly reminded to cultivate all the way again and again over the years. Hopefully it goes in and make your determination extraordinary. Because without this affirmation, very strong, sincere aspiration and affirmation, it cannot go into your nature. It cannot manifest and nurture. And it cannot be like continue. Because every segment you come, you don't know what you are born into. And how long can you live? If you are not a living being, you don't stand a chance. Unless you are born as a deva, then you have your past, you have your vow, you can still cultivate. Otherwise, as deva, your life is too good. You will never think of cultivation. Because there is no suffering until before you are about to die. Then you start to sweat and smell. Then people also don't want to come near you. Because they are up there. They have very nice figure. They, because of their virtue, their parami, and their precepts and all those things. So to be born a deva, also you need to have parami. So all this, when you understand, you will know. You can have the good life, but they are all ephemeral, or what we say, it doesn't last. It has its time span too, depend on which plane of existence, which deva plane, then which Brahma plane. Brahma also very, very long, the existence, their lifespan. Then the supramundane, the Arupa rhyme, the formless rhyme, even more long. They are talking about the longest 84,000 Asangaya Kapas world cycle. One world cycle already long enough, but they live for 84,000 world cycle before they take birth again. So all this is what samsara is all about. So when you have all this understanding, when you look back, you will know how you should appreciate what you already have and make full use of it, cherish it, go all out, make the affirmation and go this way. Set it into motion, develop the affirmation, very, very strong affirmation, the faith, the understanding, and the perseverance to go this way. So this is one more reminder. Hopefully it goes in. Okay. Anything else, Alicia? I use one.
Actually, Brother, 当你要讲要教妙法莲花经的时候，对，我是非常非常的开心， 因为 it's like beyond my wildest dream
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
I can encounter with this sutta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because 登彼岸的一个师兄，他送我整套妙法莲花经。当下我跟他说我不要，因为我看不懂。然后他就跟我讲，你拿回去，总有一天你会用到。 然后我就讲哦这样，然后我就把它放在我最高的那个 cupboard 上面，because you know 我也没有那个 condition 啊，没有
呀
当
呀呀
下，
呀！
所以当别人就讲要交没有法律莲花金，我真的是很开心，因为其实实在很难得，因为真的是我梦想都没有梦想到我能够学习这个经啊，所以我很感恩。在接下来这个大智度呢，我就想啊，那我不是要更加精进？那我怎么办？我还有这样多的 worldly duties，you know
呀，没事的，
the mundane。不过后来我在 contemplate，我讲，就随缘，因为这个都是随缘。那我可能我的 nature 会慢慢 develop 多 understanding，而且就不用经过某某某某的也不知道，所以I leave it to nature and I believe 啊，我相信我的 nature，而且我也相信佛菩萨的 guide 和 brother 的 guide。虽然我不知道我下一次会怎样的来，但愿我能踏越而来，去support 这个 Buddha Sasana 和有缘的话能够度众生，所以这个是我的愿，感恩 brother 的 guide，也感恩大家，阿弥陀佛。
Let us rejoin the sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is very good because, like she said, in the past, she never dreamed of understanding all this Mahayana Sutta, especially the Lotus Sutta, Mahayana, because at that time, when she go through the depression years, it was like hell, like she got no life. And the immediate thought is, if I can have the understanding to free from my suffering, that is already the happiest thing in the world. But it came as a big surprise. Not only because of the causes and conditions, because of the depression, then she had the affinity to come into contact with the Dhamma. Then after studying the Dhamma, not only she free her life, she got the big bonus of having this type of teaching that you can never dream of. That's why never underestimate who your nature is and who you are. You never know until the causes and conditions fall into place, until you connect. Then you can move very fast. You look at the speed in which the field of the Kayamita has moved. Alicia, only how long? So far, I think, Towei, you 10年 now, about 10 years. And this type of thing can happen. People don't even dream of going through the sainthood way. Then you look at Pocheng, Amy, Song, and many others. The way they develop the understanding, they connect to their true mind, the silent mind, the nature. Then later on, if they follow the understanding and the instruction, they go continue to develop the understanding with the faith and the vow. They can become very beautiful. And sooner or later, a lot of you all, that's why I say, you have your past. Do not look down upon your own past. For you to have such condition, you definitely have your past. I can guarantee every one of you. Otherwise, you cannot be here. You cannot be listening to all this type of thing. The only thing is how determined you are, how serious you are. Forget about what your life now is. You have to tell yourself from now onward with this understanding, I just want to go all out and develop this. Then, like what Alicia said, echo and flow. Condition like that thing. So, like, if I have the causes and condition, I should cherish it and go all out. Like I said, determine strongly with the faith, with the sincerity, understanding, and persevere. Aditan. This is what you need to do. And especially in your home where the altar is, or you can, when you come here, make the affirmation, or at the retreat, you make your affirmation. The great beings, nature are all there. And once you make the affirmation, You never know what will happen. And this is the one that trigger all. Yeah. Even for Alicia and a few other Kalimita, they must have made this affirmation before, otherwise they cannot have the condition to understand all this and move so fast. Yeah. So this is what cultivation is all about. It's not about how long you sit, how fantastic your meditation is. No, it's about how determined you are, how much faith you have, how sincere are you. Are you able to persevere, make the affirmation, and see it through? Then the rest is not important to me. When you have this understanding, your life, every life you come, you become beautiful. Even you don't immediately become beautiful, but from now onward, you can be rest assured with this understanding and this type of training. Whenever you arise, you are so much better than before. You understand? That delusion is no more. Then when you come, your life will be very different. Maybe you have to pay back. Like what Alicia went through, that 17 years she has to pay back. Because 欠债还债, understand? If you owe the coming debt, you have to repay that coming debt. But accept it. Do not become unhappy or upset only, because that is nature. Nature is. Then when you accept, you repent. You ask for forgiveness. From there, you start, you move. Every life is like that. Even after you have walked on this path, the Bodhisattva way, for a long period, you still repent. You still ask for forgiveness. You don't know. You never know how much nonsense our former mind has done in the past. Even the Buddha, in his last birth as a Sammasambuddha, he also told us that there are certain coming things that are still not exhausted. The Jinja incident and the food that he's supposed to eat that was offered to him and all that. And he had all this he has to go through. Then the praise and the blame and all those things, the worldly condition, she has to endure. He has to endure. Then the 6 years of cultivation, you remember? How difficult it was. You think he already completed his training, supposed to be Sammasambuddha, why still going to suffer for 6 years going through all those things? Because of causes and conditions, people make vow, you have to wait. The teacher, Alara Udaka, then Sujata, then all the causes and conditions, they must fall into place. So we have to understand. Even great beings, when they come, you look at all the great Zen masters, Xu Yun or her son, Guang Qing or her son, even Master Xuan Hua, Xu Yun, the Tzu Ji Yun, the Zhen Yan Pastor, the Zhen Yan Pastor, and the Zhen Yan Pastor Fagusan. You look at their history, actually not easy. When they started, it was not easy. It was really tough. That's why my nature, after going through all this, I choose to come in my own way with my own understanding. I don't really need support when I come. I make sure everything is sufficient. Then I just do my duty. I just share what I have to share. And I feel that is easier. That I don't have to be in certain type of attire or what that limits my ability to interact with society, to interact with living beings, to do my worldly duty as a father, as a husband, as a kayamita, and as a lot of other things. This nature, the form in mind, has its duty. That's why it comes, it performs its duty in accordance with the Dhamma, the law of karma especially. Then it fulfills its vow. It vows to liberate the limitless living being. Then those who have affinity with my nature, because of this vow, this duty, this nature will manifest to share, to help, and to do what is supposed to do. That's why this form of mind has its purpose. Yeah. So you have to understand only the two aspects, not only the unconditioned. You think, meditate, realize, liberate, free, forget about the world. No, that is still one-sided. The world is still the world. There is still such thing as life, existence, form and mind, which is subject to karma and all. All this understanding will develop the perfect blending and understanding. Then life becomes wonderful, meaningful. That every moment, every instant is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful. Then that is what life is all about. There is a reason to come. There is a reason to live, to exist, to go through, explore, to experience and see to all this. And these are possible. This is Pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma, the fortune of your hard work, your cultivation. You reap the spiritual fortune, understand or not? Not the materialistic fortune. But usually, if you have the spiritual fortune, you will come with the materialistic fortune too. But not if you don't have the understanding. Because you look at all the other Zen master, as I told you, the understanding is different, which can be very good too, because their focus is cultivation, 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 understand? Of course, they develop the Dhanaparamita too, but they give less emphasis. Then when they come, they want certain type of what they call life. They want to come, they want to be ordained, past and all those things. That is your choice, understand? But for me, I prefer the Vimalakirti way, understand? Come as a lay person, develop my understanding, like this life. In fact, many lives, I want to be a civil engineer. I want to contribute to society. I want to do all these things. That's why I will come with that ability, that understanding. Then I will develop my understanding and life. Then from there, like I wrote in the seminar book that I delivered in Bangkok in the year 2013, Success in Life via the Dhamma Way. I reached the pinnacle of my worldly career and everything, and even whatever that an ordinary living being would like to have, the materialistic success, every aspect of it, I almost reached the pinnacle of it. Then when it comes to spiritual, I also reached the pinnacle of it. So what more you want? That is what life is all about. And it can be done. I already show it to you that it can be done. So have faith and just go on. This is a teaching that is very rare. It's not a belief system, understand? It's not a philosophy that a thinker, a great thinker, come up with. No, it's evolved through understanding, cultivation, perfection over a long, long period. And it's not one being. Is the countless great being, Sammasambuddha, that evolve and develop all this. That's why this teaching, last time I already told you, when you come to know what this nature is all about, you will get a shock of your life. And when you come to understand all this, what a waste if you don't know how to go and develop all this understanding. It's just like everything is already shown to you, explained to you, and you still take it lightly, like not serious. Then your life is up to you, because the choice is yours. My duty is to share. When there is condition to share, just share. That's it. Okay, we have to end. We are exceeded by 7 minutes already. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so let us now share merits with the devas. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anuoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Etavata sampadan Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Devo asatukalina sasasampati hetuce vitobhavatu lokoce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.